Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Saturday, baby on the air. Welcome to the exclusive with Sharon Tharp.
Woo! Yes. Thank you, Kevin. Okay, let's just make that my intro. Welcome to the exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. Here to talk about Traders Canada with my friend, arguably, I don't even want to say arguably, Kevin, but the best Big Brother Canada player of all time and trader, Kevin Jacobs. Welcome to the exclusive.
Best Big Brother Canada player and trader.
And trader.
I could put a worst trader on that superlative. We could go best BB can worst trader. I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, well, one of the questions I was going to ask you is like, yeah, and we're kind of jumping in, but like Netta winning last year, coming from Big Brother Canada, like, was that a concern when you signed up for the show?
It's part of the appeal. It makes it so much harder. It's like, oh, you can be very reductive about characters on show. Like I was at Dulles, DC, last week, and this lovely old couple came up to me, and they're like, the one guy was telling his husband, he's like, so look who it is, it's the trader. And the other guy's like, oh great. And they're like, and he goes, oh my god, congratulations, you won the UK version. I was like,
close.
I was like thank you so much, of course. So that's spoiler for Celebrity UK, Alan Carr is this comedian who is 20 years older than me who just won. So to most people, it's like, oh, you're just a whatever on a TV. So Netta's like, Netta from Big Brother, Kevin from Big Brother, right? Mm. So it made it more fun.
Well, I want to talk about before going into the game, I know you pretty well. I know you've been asked to do shows over the years and you turned them down. Why Traders and why now?
I don't take it too seriously for one. Should probably take it more seriously. Will in future. The timing worked out well. It's a pretty fast show. It was something that I had on my radar as a possibility in advance. So being able to plan around it a little bit was super helpful. And also it's like, since the show got greenlit, you can't do Traders Canada without me, you know?
No.
And I was like, all right, let's go and see what happens. There was no, I'm going in to accomplish this or do this. Like, I'm good. This is not how I like derive self-value or like respect for myself or anything. It's like, let's go have some fun and play in this murder camp, you know?
Yeah. And I kind of knew that's how you would approach it. And we'll obviously talk about the game, but did you go in? I mean, I have to imagine you were like, there's no middle game for me. Like, I'm either out early or I'm winning. Like, there's kind of no in between. Is that why you played so hard and so fast?
So I was actually talking to when I was thinking about the game, most of the thoughts were I have to, you know, do something drastic in there. And one person, Corey Werdenberger, was like, I think, you know, I actually think you might be able to like kind of be low key like you were in Big Brother. And I was like, no, there's no way. And maybe there was a possibility, but I just felt like given especially the half and half cast, it was let's go in, let's send it, let's see what happens. It's going to be an uphill battle no matter what. So might as well play like risky versus Jericho is just my guy, you know, in this last episode. He's just like so safe, so faithful. And then people get an idea in their heads 15 minutes before the round table and they're like, poof.
It's so crazy how people like take things so personal. I don't know. Things get very intense in there so quickly, it feels like.
Yeah.
But I feel like the brilliance of your game, and it's very hard to replicate, right? Like you were, the way that you played Big Brother, it's almost like you were undercover, like deep in that game the entire time, which is an amazing first game. But I feel like that's the hardest game to play a second time. And I don't know if I'm explaining this right. I think about, you know, other players who, like a Derek Lavasser, like he played a very specific game. Him coming back, it's very hard to navigate that. Did you feel that? Do you think that's fair?
I also felt it was boring. Not just, like, forget the audience. For me, it's like, look at me, like I'm here, like let's like come after me a little bit, because it's we've also seen it, like Mike won the first season, Netta won the second season, both of them played like fairly similar games, which was just quiet trader behind the scenes, influence some moves here and there and make it to the end and just be someone that people aren't suspecting. Like I don't really want to do that. It's not interesting for me. I do really respect unscripted TV and the way the storytelling develops, and I don't think it would be good for this show to see me dominate as an under the radar trader. I don't necessarily think that was an option, but I don't think that's that, like, it's we've seen that. What's the new scenario? It's kind of playing out. Wish I was in there, but you know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But yeah, going back to before the game, is there a way to prepare for this kind of game? I mean, like the challenges, whatever, like you don't need to like be doing puzzles and stuff, but like strategy wise, like what can you do to prepare at all?
Yes. Okay, yes, Sharon. Absolutely. There are lots of ways to prepare.
Okay.
One, you can figure out who's going to be in the cast, especially right. In Canada. You got an idea. I could tell you five names right now that will be on next year, and I'll probably nail three. So
Should we do it?
Yeah, let's go. Genevieve's probably declining. I think we'll get Caleb in the mix. Bailey Pelham, pencil her in. She's a lock on that cast. This cast of Canada's Drag Race right now, haven't tuned in. Apparently it's a good season so far. Pick out the runner up or like the third place person and pop them right in. And then we're going to get one of the Canadians who made the crossover into Bachelor Nation in the US.
Ah, okay.
I just nailed three. And how about Camilla from Survivor? Let's throw her in too. After Survivor 50. But like, so, okay, you can prepare for the cast. So that's one area I over-prepared because I didn't have my guy Ty in the mix, but Venus and Omer, fairly obvious choices. I thought Caleb would be there. Dom, I had an idea would be there just based on like, he's kind of his own sort of Canadian, he's carved out his own niche. And then you can prepare for human communication. You can read books, you can study it. What I did a lot of was plugging in information into AI and then talking to it in different situations in the round versus AI. But sometimes you get heat stroke and lose your ability to communicate or use your brain, and that stuff goes out the window, which happened to me. But there are ways to prepare, I think, even though it is, I would argue, more of a show than a game.
Right. Okay. No, but that's fair. You know, I know you and Omer are friends in real life. I figured out you guys were on the show because when I was texting you, you're someone like me. You don't necessarily text back right away. So I didn't suspect you. I had thought maybe you would be doing the show, but I was like, eh. Omer texted me back right away. And so when he didn't text me back, I was like, oh shit, yeah, they're filming. Oh, Kevin doesn't text me back either. So I was like, oh, duh. Should have figured that out. But when it comes
another word in burger, Zach, when Big Brother Canada 12 was coming out, there were like rumors of returnees. And he texted me like, what's up? And I didn't even know whatever. And I just responded like, oh, shut up. And then he tweeted that and it went viral. And like, so it's good. It's a good detective method.
That's usually how I figure out people are on. But all right. So when you've kind of assumed like Omer would be in there, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Because I feel like it's double-edged sword here. Like, yes, it's nice to have a friend in there, but also like, well, you probably assumed one of you would be a traitor. No?
So 100% one of us is a traitor. It doesn't even need to be said. Like, yep. I know if I'm selected, he'll know it. And I know if I'm not a traitor, he's going to be a traitor. Like, that's just, you can write that in. It's almost a perfect guess, which is great. And then you just decide how to play that. In terms of like the friendship, like neither one of us is writing down the other one's name. I don't know how it would have gone if we went to like a final fire together, but at that point it's like, it is what it is. I do think in some ways it was blinded because there are a lot of good relationships to build in there, but when you come in with pre-existing relationships, it does make you obviously more prone to working with those people. I have 3 years of friendship with this dude. Like, that's going to be a lot different, even though the situation is very intense and you build relationships fast. So in some ways it's to our detriment because maybe there are better areas to play the game.
How did you know Venus before? Had you met her before? Were you friends? Yeah. I'm not really, you would have. Yeah. Okay. I thought so.
Yeah. Venus, my buddy, we've, you know, like the Canadian reality TV community is not that big. Seen her a couple times. Like, she was at Marianne's wedding. I remembered her from that. She didn't remember me. But like, yeah, I knew Venus. Like, I've always been also a fan of hers. I felt like, this is going to sound so stupid, I felt like people on her season were so silly for not listening to her strategically.
Exactly.
And so going in, when I'm running things, I'm like, if Venus is there, I know, like, socially, that's a strength of mine, like the social game. And actually strategically, I'm like, I gotta rely on her because her reads pretty much 100% right on her Survivor season where she said Charlie and Maria are running things.
Yep. Totally agree. Were you familiar at all with Coco? Like, how deep?
Zero.
I was gonna say, you didn't watch. What was it, Montreal?
Okay, so the Quebec has its own media in many ways. Like, it's its own sort of media economy. So in Quebec, Coco is a very famous comedian. Like, she's very, very, very well known. Coco Beliveau, she's a goddamn star, as she should be. She had just come off of Big Brother Celebrity a second time where she was what they call a runner up, which is like the top four. I knew structurally that game was actually quite strategic with a lot of twists, but I didn't know who she was. And then at first, when she told me she was a big fan of mine, I'm like, cool, that whatever. And then she told me she came like seventh on one season and like sixth on another. And then when we were traders together, she told me that she was actually the runner up. And I was like, oh, she's a shark. So I was almost afraid of what I thought she was.
That's fair. I mean, listen, she is very smart, and how, you know, watching her genius. Sort of, yeah, really, really, and hilarious, by the way. Super funny.
So funny.
So, okay, you go in, you know, I'm assuming when you were talking to producers or in casting, you wanted to be a traitor. Were you pushing that? Was there any scenario where you're like, okay, fine, I'll be a faithful?
Yeah, if they forced me to be a faithful, but I was like 80% sure that they would make me a traitor. The only reason they wouldn't would be if there was another similar archetype. So Ty or Omer get put in the turret, or they're going completely against the meta of the previous seasons and going zero gamers in there. So I was like mostly sure. I'd mostly prepared to be a traitor. I also felt like, as the show went on, just a side note, Jamal and Meredith are two people who actually think played the meta very well. I'm not sure how much we've seen it, but I felt like those two were like, especially in the first couple of days, they're like, all right, these are the reality people. By the way, they're big reality fans. And, you know, looking, Meredith was saying my name off the bat and like, correct, even without seeing anything.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Because I was also, they don't really show like how familiar people are with your game. So I didn't know among the cast, like how many people or what percentage of people had watched your season of Big Brother.
Like 16 or 17 were familiar with me. And then like,
yeah, big Canada, you guys watch a lot of Big Brother. It's true.
It's also like, if you're going on this show or you've applied, you probably know. So just off the top of my head, obviously like Omer and Venus, Jericho, huge fan. Thompson had been at a Bryce and Wen event where he told me that actually we had met. So he's like in. Jamal, huge Big Brother fan. Meredith, Chawla.
I didn't really show this.
Nat, my girl Nat. I got DMs from Nat from like a couple years ago. Like, yeah, like there are a lot of fans in there.
Damn. I wish this worked out to your advantage though.
I was set up to succeed. I just dropped the ball.
In some ways. You know, did you think about, okay, well, first of all, talk to me about Kareen's little switch up there. What was going through your mind? Are you like, let me just control my emotions at this point when you're blindfolded and she's like, oh, actually, you guys are the faithfuls if I touched you?
Well, I was trying to figure out at first I was like, I don't know how to act as a faithful. Like other people, like they get picked as a traitor and they're like, okay, like, let me, what does a traitor do? I'm like, I was playing like a traitor since before the traitors were selected. So when I get picked as a faithful, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And then she made the switch and I was like, okay, let's ride. Pressure's off. Pressure's off because I'm a traitor. Like this is I get to play my game, you know?
Yeah. I do want to mention, so Omer mentions like he clocks you pretty quickly. I mean, I assume if it was the other way around, it probably would have been the same way. But, you know, and he talks about later about playing this traitor angel strategy, which is, I was surprised they showed. I was kind of happy that they're showing that more. But yeah, I have to imagine you knew Omer knew or no.
100%. Yeah, obviously. Like, so you fundamentally, like, there, I obviously knew he knew. So when I'm like walking with, and that's part of the reason why he was so sure, when I'm like, yeah, like, you got to go after Coco, my boy. Like, it's like the, anything else would be stupid. Like, for me to fake that or try to lead him astray, like, he's too sharp for that. So, yeah, so you kind of have to play
unspoken.
That. Yeah, like, it's also, we know, I've played board games with the dude. Like, there's no point in pretending. Same thing with, like, even, you know, Venus before we recruited her. Like, she knows.
Okay, probably, fair.
You know?
You know, you find out Coco is the other traitor.
Yeah.
What were your first thoughts? You know, were you happy? Were you bummed? Like,
I was ready to ride with her. I was ready to ride all the way, like, towards at least the late game with her. I was super excited. I thought we could work together. We'd hit it off. I thought we could communicate. I actually think I had said to her, like, you know, if you're a traitor, that's totally cool. Like we really got along fast. Part of the issue is that after that, like, first day or so, we did not get to communicate much. Like, there was not a lot of turret time. There was not a lot of time together. And so I actually didn't know that she was as trusting in me, which I wish I did. So, like, I think both of us mismanaged that relationship going forward.
But it makes sense, right? Like, you'd rather be cautious than be assuming, okay, well, she's going to be like, we're going to be in lockstep the whole time. So I kind of get that. But yeah, was it surprising watching it back, being like, oh shit, like, she was actually not coming after me?
Yeah, I was really surprised because there were certain things where we played it differently. And this, I think, just goes to, like, the way that obviously she, like, completely outclassed me in this game. But just the way I am is, this game's so fast, I'm going to need a check-in, like once a day or something. I'm going to need it. And me and Venus were great at that. Like, I knew me and Venus were locked in, other than me being an idiot. But with Coco, like, Coco just blindly trusted me, but also was setting some traps. So in the turret one time, she mentioned murdering Omer. She knows we're close. Like, what? I'm like, what is that? Or, like, if I'm in the car with her and she's not talking strategy, we had one car ride and I was like, why are you not, like, is this not a good opportunity for us to, like, co-puppeteer something? Like, what's, like, throw me a softball. Let me hit it out. Let me throw you a softball. Like, you go for it. And she was just so almost, you know, when you play dead for the first month of Big Brother?
Yep.
She was kind of doing that, which is the right strategy if people don't know you.
She had but some heat on her, right? Yeah.
But even before that, like, you know, so we just weren't aligned and she was still dropping little things that I felt like were traps for me. And, like, That's where it's hard.
You're right. Bringing up Omer, knowing how close, like, that would probably throw me off too. I'm like, really?
This it's early? Like, call me out. It's like, hey, if we're going to go to the end together, what are you going to do about Omer? Let's have that discussion.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You're right.
And I should have said in that moment, you know, I know you keep bringing it up. Like, you know, we're close. Like, let's talk about it instead of being, instead of making a note in my head. Oh, she's fishing and she wants him out at some point.
All right. When you have to make the decision to pick two people, I feel like had you been in the game a couple more days, I feel like you would have sussed that out. Is that, do you think it was just because it was so early? Like, you didn't think about it? Like, oh, maybe Karine's going to do like a switch up here.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
It felt like going into the season, if they were looking to change things up, they would have four traders.
Yep.
The way the clue was written also threw us off. And it was so fast. I just, like, obviously should have caught it. But I think one of the things I think of now is if I knew more about, like, Big Brother Quebec, for example, same production team. They love these twists. And so Traders is already a twist heavy show. If I knew that the twists were going to come like this, I should have been more on guard. But the fact that they already had this, like, faithful to trader twist, the fact that we were recruiting, it just felt like too much on top of.
And also seeing each other with the necklace whole thing. And it's like,
there's a lot going on and it's so fast and, like, 100% my fault for not catching it, but it was a lot harder than it seemed from outside, Sharon.
Yeah,
I've gotten so much hate this time around. It's been incredible. My God, I'm getting people going. It's a great move. The go, like, respond to an old tweet, like, worst trader ever, or, like, you know, something insulting that I can't say on that. Like, I'm like, whoa, that's an impressive level of hatred. This is good.
Who are they? Are they fans of a specific person? They just don't like you. Like, what is it?
I don't know. It's pretty electric.
Let me guess. Is this on X or Twitter?
Some of it's on X. Coco's got a rabid fan base also. Me and Coco are buddies, but, like, the Coco stands are wild. They exist. They're out there. I love it. I'm telling you, she's the Ariana Grande of Quebec. There's like a, who's like a big comedian? I'm trying to think. Like
Chelsea Handler? Amy Schumer? Like that level? Or
Joan Rivers. She's a legend out there.
Wow.
Yeah, Coco's a legend. Anyways.
I don't know about my Canadian lore or anything.
Well, I learned this after. You know, I didn't know.
Right, true. You pick Ty, and you mentioned later, like, you're not sure how long Ty would even be able to stay in the game. What was the sort of thinking behind picking Ty? You did also mention you kind of need a burner.
Yeah, I felt really bad about it. First of all, I felt that my time in the game was limited anyway. I'm like, I gotta go balls to the wall. So if Ty is in the turret with me, maybe there's a situation where he gets banished, like, mid game or even towards the end. And that takes some heat off me. I was also like, I trust him 100%. Like, that's my guy. I'm going to have him in there. Ty's also my boy.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are you guys today?
My actual friend. No, we're good. We're good. He's the man. Okay. Like, it touched my heart. It's, like, almost bringing me to tears right now. Like, afterwards we spoke and he was like, it's cool. Like, I just didn't understand it. And there's no good explanation other than, like, just I went big brain on it and just like,
it's not like you didn't try. It's not like you just gave him up, but.
It felt like I was on the challenge in one of those moments where you like have to pick one of your two close people to go in. And to get that on the first night like that, I was like, ugh, this is. And like, it's on me that I didn't bounce back from it. I've gone soft, Jared. Like, I'm not the vicious demon that I once was. I'm like this, like my friends are, it's way harder to play with your friends.
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to play with my friends, if I'm being honest. It's just, it's a little messy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Me and Jillian, we're talking about like when I found out that Meredith and Chala were married before the show, me and Jillian were always like, I think you should go on it. Like, I think they'd have you. I think it'd be hilarious. I'd probably be out early and then you'll do well. I would not. It's not the right environment. Like, it's hard.
And like, I don't know if you had to witness people like Meredith's witnessing people go after Chala and all that. Like, if you had to witness people going after Jillian, would you be, you'd be losing your mind a little bit, no?
Yeah. Like, I was like this with like, you know, like someone says like Omer's name and it's like cutting my heart. Like, imagine the love of my life. It's,
right. Yeah. No, I don't know about that. But with Ty, like,
yeah.
How long were you and Coco going back and forth? Like, was it longer than we saw or was it about what we saw?
It was a long time. It was a really long time. Yeah. Like, cause I was so mad at Corrine. Cause this is not a Coco thing. Like,
right.
You know, I know there's this, oh, I'm out for revenge, whatever. Like, but I was just so mad at Corrine and ultimately it was like mad at myself for not catching it. Cause it's like, there's no, forget Coco and what she wants here. There was no good situation for me to murder Ty or Venus on night one. Like, that, both of those are horrible for me. Just absolutely horrible situations. So I don't know. I think if I pushed harder, like I think Coco would have kept Ty.
Really?
Yeah, I do think that. But like at some point I just caved and I was like, yeah, like, but I also didn't know. I didn't know what I wanted. Like, this is not an easy decision, as much as it was portrayed to be like me and Ty versus Coco and Venus. I'm way closer with Venus than Coco is with Venus.
Right.
Like, that's either true. Way, I'm situated nicely in the turret in some ways, or maybe like Venus is in the better position, but this is the hardest night I've had on TV. Like, it really, it crossed into, I'm really good at like putting a shield on my brain and like kind of removing real life from it. And it really crossed into this place that was way too close to home. And like, I don't know that I was thinking about strategy. I don't know that I was like, it just fucked me up.
Yeah. I could see that. I feel like you were having a hard time with that. They didn't get to talk or plead their case much, huh? Like, after
a little bit, they got to a little bit. Ty thought he was there because of me, which he was. So he didn't even pitch that hard. Cause he was like, oh, Kev's going to go to bat for me. Like, the whole thing was miserable.
Damn. Oh gosh. Okay. So you eventually acquiesce, whatever. What was the biggest concern? I mean, you were still happy that Venus was there, right? Like,
yeah,
it wasn't terrible for you as opposed to it being like another woman on the cast that's not Venus. Were you feeling still okay about it, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good situation for me. I just like the way the sort of conversation went with Coco was hard to come back from. And I also had told her the next day, I'm like, it's all good. We'll be fine. Whatever. We move on. And she like really believed that, which was a problem also. But like me and Venus, like we're so tight. Like I screwed her badly. Like when I had a meltdown,
just like, what are you doing?
But yeah, I mean, listen, I might've been gone in like a round table or two, but like the interesting thing is like she recovered so well. Cause then she takes the gamer thing and she puts it off me. Right.
Yep. Yep. There were a couple points that I was like, oh, Venus is cooked here. Like her, when she walked into breakfast and she was acting a little weird, I'm like, she's not long for this game. She recovers pretty well.
She's so good strategically. She's so good. And I think the thing with her also is like, to me, she's positioned right now with Coco as the shield.
I think I have faith in her, though. Like, I don't have a faith in a lot of players of these games, but I feel like Venus is strategic enough that I have faith that she can get far.
I think it's also like, it's, what is it? It's been like seven episodes. Like, the fact coming in here as a Big Brother player, as a Survivor player, you've such a big target on your back. And the fact that she has made it even this far is ridiculous. Like, that woman's got strategic chops, especially after I'm going nuts and, like, you know, like, it's, I'm in awe.
Her strategic chops are just always underestimated. Whatever she plays, I don't know if it's because, I don't know why. Like, they underestimate her intelligence almost. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
For sure.
I think it's maybe not like a first impression. And on these shows, first impressions make such a big impact. And she's someone that you have to get to know a little bit to, like, understand her. And I think that not a lot of people take that time. So, like, don't get me wrong, love Stan Twitter, but beyond the, like, Stan Twitter of, like, mother, like
Venus mother,
she has substance. She's a real person. Like, she's smart as hell and very effective.
Okay, so there's a bunch of random stuff with sort of like that middle part of the game that I want to chat about. You know, we see a lot of clips of you dancing, drinking wine, just having sort of fun.
Yeah, which having a blast.
I love. Talk to me about that. Was that planned? Was that sort of like in the moment?
Yeah, there's no situation. Very much deliberate. There's no situation where I can't just hide in plain sight. Yeah. Sort of like, you know, the way that Coco's been playing it is what I wanted to do. And that, like, you know, funny out there, whatever, like, oh, that's just Kevin. Because that gives you a cover as well to, like, do things like, let's say, a murder in plain sight. Or, you know, you can act weird. If you create a pattern of acting weird, you can get there. And it's also like the game's so fast. I'm going to talk to the other traders in daylight. I don't care. Criticize me as much as you want. I'm going to talk to everyone. It's weird if I don't talk to you when we're in the house.
Yep. Venus was very much like, I think a couple times she was like, why are you talking to me in plain? I don't know. I feel like she didn't love talking in plain sight.
No, but.
Yeah. Even with Coco. What else? What did you mention? Oh, you mentioned about murder in plain sight, but you mentioned on the show that you did not want to actively publicly get a shield. Talk to me about that.
Do you think I could finish this by the end of the interview, Sharon?
I mean, that would be great. Like, we should both be hydrating.
It's something I learned on this show is to hydrate a lot. A significant amount. The shield in plain sight? Well, my buddy Mark told me it, no matter what, because, like, I'm gonna get murdered if I'm a faithful, or at least like will be kept around because I'm so loud. If I'm playing full faithful, whether I'm a faithful or a traitor, I need to just let other people have the shields, at least when it's public. Because, like, at some point, I'm not playing for positioning. I don't care about, like, making it another day or two. I want to try and win the game. Like, who cares? Right. If you're not first, you're last, baby. Shake and bake. And so for this, like, if I get to the end of the game with four or five people left and I haven't been murdered, there are going to be nights where the traders have chosen not to murder me. So I have to find a reason to be sticking around. The reason is because Kevin's so big of a threat or such a big personality that we're going to keep him there.
Right. Okay. Were there any other sort of, like, rules or things that you made for yourself? I know Coco said she never wanted to murder in plain sight, which I think she has to, but anything that you went into the game like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing
don't
that.
Speak first at the round table.
I was surprised Omer did that in the first episode, didn't he?
Well, he did that because he's a faithful and he needs to not get murdered and be like he knows the advantage of also being loud and wrong, right?
Fair. Yeah,
like he's thinking that through. Don't speak first at the round table. Never be sure about anything, whether you're a faithful or a traitor, or never project 100% sure, which, again, I did. Speak at every round table, which I did as well. Even though, you know, a lot of it was just nonsense that obviously, whatever. And if you're a traitor, do not turn on the other traitors. It's a lot easier on paper, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if it's because we're like deep into many seasons of this show across different iterations, but like it does seem like lately, I guess with season, whatever, with the Boston Rob of it all, like did that just imploded that conclave. So I was just curious. Yeah. Like have we evolved where like traitors don't want to go after each other so early because it just never ends well.
On paper. Yeah. It should be. But look, I think with also some of this game design, I'm just calling it out, does even the odds. You have an inherent advantage as a trader. 100%. You want to be a trader. You're in a better position in this game. But limited conclave time, more twist heavy, less opportunity to meet with your other traders, to squash whatever's going on. Like me and Coco were like a 10-minute conversation away in one of those 2 days from actually getting on the same page. And I should have just called it out to her. Right.
I feel like you just had to have a couple more conversations and you would have figured out that she actually wasn't sort of coming after you. And I didn't know why as a viewer, I felt like I was like, why does Kevin not trust Coco? Because it seemed like she totally trusted you. Or
I was so well positioned in the turret. I missed that.
Yeah.
I knew that me and Venus were tight. I didn't know that Coco really value me, because after day one we didn't have a ton of time together.
Yeah, that's fair. And also I'd be like on guard of like anyone who was in the turret with me that I didn't know. It's hard to,
well, it's like so early. I know what my reputation is. You're in here with me as the one other person. I'm like, I might not know your history, but it's probably dark. you got some stuff you need to work through as well, you know.
Well, I want to talk about that, Kevin, because I rewatched it and I was like, you said, listen, I'm a bad guy. Is this for TV or do you really think you're a bad guy?
I think I have room to improve as a person.
As we do.
For some reason, most of this cast just loves me. Like they're just obsessed with me. Like they were like cheering my name after I got banished. Like, I don't know what the deal is. Hollywood is like, why are you all cheering? I don't know. When I'm in there, I'm a bad guy.
No, it's fun though. Like I love to root for a villain. So like for me, I'm like, doesn't bother me. I mean, Venus was technically a villain on, right? To some extent on her season of Survivor.
Yeah. It's also like in there, you can be a villain. Like,
right.
I'm not out here in my regular life. Like, you know, serial killing. Like,
let's hope not.
No, you know, like it's. I am a law abiding citizen, Sharon. I go below the speed limit. I drive. You do not want to. You drive. I'm a very safe driver.
I could see that, Kevin.
But in there, it's like, look, I'm playing to win. I don't care. We'll get over this. Like people, they got me out. Great, good work.
Yeah, I want to talk about like sort of where it started to go wrong for you. Was it a specific thing? Was it a specific moment? Was it like what was it, a group of things? I know that conversation you had with Jericho and Hollywood kind of left them with a bad taste in their mouth. Did that not help the situation, or was that like the cause of your name coming up?
The proteins in my brain were folding upon themselves because I was literally pre-heat stroke. Like when I stumbled out, I went straight to the hospital. Like I was in.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Yeah. I lost my ability to speak. Like they were able to cool me down. I chugged a bunch of energy drinks and electrolytes before the round table to keep me from passing out. So when I go out to talk to Jericho in Hollywood, I'm not thinking fully straight.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. This is not saying like I would have, you know, gone on some epic run. It's that if you're going to play dangerously, like the way I was, you kind of need to be on all the time and there isn't room for error. So Jericho brings up that thing about Coco. I need somebody else to take that shot. Me taking the shot, it's a silly thing to do, even if I'm double bluffing with Coco and Shaughnessy. So that goes wrong there. Telling Hollywood to sit down during the challenge also, that was like specific to Hollywood. I thought he'd understand, but he was immediately like, oh, that doesn't feel good. Like that's someone that I thought, I think, right?
I think I'm not saying he has an ego. Everyone has an ego. I think, yeah, he doesn't like to be sort of told, I think, what to do.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a part of it. And then I think I just didn't recover properly after the Thai thing. My resilience there was not at the level that it should have been. I always think it's possible to win, even when the odds are against you. Like I think there was a winning scenario in this game. It did involve, I don't know how that happens, but it was tough. It was tough after Taiwan.
Yeah. Well, talk to me. So wait, were you actually sick that day? Were you like just not feeling well? Was it a physical thing or was it like just stress?
The heat stroke?
Yeah. Like what?
Yeah.
What
yeah. Happened? Like I was like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was legit.
I was
sick. Okay.
I was real damn sick. But I was like so competitive and like, so, you know, whatever that I was like,
I can see that.
That I just went into, you know, that time where everybody's talking before the round table, just like running around. Like I think at one point I was like barking like a dog beside Dom, and Dom's like, this is wild. Like I just completely, you know, there.
Damn.
I where did it go wrong? Pretty much every decision. Like most of it. Every single one. I don't know.
What did you know? Talk to me about like that day. Did you know you were getting votes?
I wasn't getting votes until that. And I knew I was getting votes after the Hollywood conversation. Like yeah, I knew how that went. And like the body language going into the round table, I could tell where it was. And I was like, look, I need to take the shot at some point. At least I felt that way. And I was like, I might as well do it tonight. I have a shield, which is the indicator for a faithful that you're safe to speak freely. So that was a part of it. I was like, if there's a time, let's go for it.
Yeah. And then Coco was blindsided. She's like, me?
She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So I'm always curious, like, okay, you got the votes. You got to stand progress. Up. Oh, good job.
Electrolytes, Sharon. It's not just water. You got to get your electrolytes in too.
I drink a lot of Gatorade Zeros. Is that good or bad?
They got electrolytes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Probably drink too much. So, you know, you get the votes, whatever. You got to stand up there. Were you, well, you didn't feel well, but like, do they tell you to put on a show? Do they tell you just like, say it however you want?
Oh, like when you're
revealing your, yeah.
No, they don't, I don't even know what it, like by that point, I'm so sick. I'm so sick. Like I need help. Like as the votes are coming up, I think like some of the adrenaline, this is where like the stressful part, some of the adrenaline was like going away and I was like, okay, I'm getting banished. I need medical assistance. And then the one hamstring starts going, and usually in a hamstring spasm, it goes away. And then the other one starts going. I'm like, oh, this is going to get bad. So as the votes are coming up, I'm like, I continue like talking shit. Like I think at one point Kareem tells me to shut up. And I'm like, the whole body is not yet, but it's about to be in full spasm. So I limp my way up with the help of Dom and Kareem. I don't even know what I said. And then I walked off and then like 10 minutes later, full body spasm, lost my ability to speak. Heatstroke's real, Sharon. Heatstroke's real.
Jesus. Did you have any sort of like physical reaction to the stress of the Big Brother house? Like when you were in there, whether it was the finale or.
No, just early on, like the adjustment periods, like especially learning to sleep. I think the long nights in the long days in Traders like did play a role. Like I don't do that well on like an inconsistent schedule. I'm like a pretty regimented get up, go to the gym so I don't go crazy, like measure all my food, like, you know, don't worry, I go to therapy too. And
I think we've talked about this, same, don't worry.
And it's just like, that's the way I know that I'm at my best. As much as I want to be like, I'm a smart person, I'm logical and this and that, sleep, nutrition, and exercise will affect your mood and your cognitive ability more than anything. And in that house, no sleep, not really exercise.
How many hours were you averaging?
4 or 5.
Yeah, that's rough.
Not really much exercise. Food was decent.
Oh, okay.
Those breakfasts, those are good breakfasts.
They're not a fake breakfast. I thought the U.S. people said it was fake or something.
Ours is a real breakfast. Like, okay. I got it. When you get first to breakfast, it's not just that you get a good view of the door. It's also that you get delicious food. You don't want to walk into breakfast last, because then you're just like asking someone to pass the eggs across here. There are no eggs. That was a good day. Oh my gosh. The fruit. Like, so at the beginning of the season, there's like this little boys club developing with Dom and Jericho and Thompson. We were just sitting there on the edge eating fruit. We had some delicious, like there was a dragon fruit. There was a grapefruit. Like, I mean, I should have said dragon fruit second, because that was the more exotic one.
Yeah.
I just went down, and then there was an apple. And it was so good. Like that brunch was delicious.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of little things that, like, I don't know if they're real or not. But talk to me about the edit of the show. Is it basically how you remembered? Was there anything you thought or you wish that they included?
It depends on the episode. I'd say it stays true to the spirit for the most part. Look, me playing for a three-way win between Omer and Venus, which is what I was doing after the first night, they included some of that, but that's not really like, you know, large audience content. Cause it's like, why would he do that? That's a little weird. So the like hard taking revenge, like I wasn't mad at Coco. I was mad at Kareem. Like it's that part I would say is my only thing, but it made for good TV. And like, I obviously like am hamming that up a bit. So I'm responsible for some of that. But yeah, I'd say it's also like, let's compare it to the Big Brother schedule. You got an off day in there. You got, you know, 2 days between.
So much time.
Like a veto ceremony is an entire day, right? That's you know, whatever the 15, 30 minutes that takes. That is like the only thing
getting
you're doing.
Ready.
That
all that shit.
So there is so much that happens in a trader's day that like they have to cut it in a way that makes sense. So I can't be upset about any sort of edit. I'm also like, I'm a content vacuum. Like when I'm in the diary room, when I'm doing my confessionals, like
so good.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm Dr. Charisma out there, you know?
I feel like you just turn on, even the way that like, there'll be like an envelope next to you and you just like look at the camera. I'm like, Kevin is just giving so much entertainment today, which I enjoy. So thank you for that.
Strategically horrific entertainment wise. You're welcome.
Thanks. But not horrific. You went in there. I think it was an uphill battle regardless, but people are always going to say, Kevin, what was harder? Big Brother? I mean, you won fucking Big Brother, but there's such different games. Like, is it even comparable?
Big Brother is harder.
Yeah,
because for a couple reasons, it is, despite the like the hunches of traders or whatever, and how first impressions are maybe even more important on that, Big Brother is a very personal game. Like you get really, really close to the people to the point where like you have time to talk about their lives and it's not even like they're like big emotional backstory. It's like all you do is you're around them. Like I had my own room at the manor. Big Brother, you start the game sharing a room with 7 other people in a you know, like there's no experience like it. Plus the bounce back post Big Brother is inexplicable to anyone who has not done it.
Yeah, we've talked about this. It's very hard.
Very hard. Traders, I was like, even like it took me about 10 days to recover physically from the heat stroke. Shit.
Wow.
But outside of that, it was like a less than a week to recover mentally. What's a more difficult game? I think Big Brother is a like more strategic game. I think there are some good strategies laid out there. traders, it's almost like the best strategy is this kind of middle ground, which in some ways is the, like, you know, not too loud, not too quiet, not too suspicious, but not suspicious enough. There are good trader strategies. I'm not saying that it's a full show and not a game, but it's like, and maybe this is me, I'm not sitting lying there at night thinking about how I screwed up on traders. Like that is, it is what it is. I blew it, like that's fine. I had a great time, met some great people, like super happy with the experience. Big Brother can like eat at people, and I know everything went well for me over there, but I don't see it the same way as much on traders, where like, I think your brain chemistry changes in Big Brother.
I say this all the time. I just think Big Brother, like, people don't give enough grace when people get out of that house, because that is not a normal situation. Yeah. That is traumatizing. I think it affects you forever. I think it's just like, I think it's a totally different game.
Yeah. I like Jillian saved me after Big Brother. And again, like everything went right for me on that show. Like she, like having like a person in my life that like really kept my feet on the ground after was great. And if I had one or been through the experience, let's just say 5 years younger, I don't know that I'd be okay. Traders, I was taking a work call at the airport, like on the way home, you know.
Was Jillian worried about you when you went?
Yeah.
I have to imagine, just because of, you know, it's obviously very different, but if you go through that with Big Brother, I'm sure she was like, oh god, what is he gonna come back? Yeah.
But it's also, I think it is, and maybe it's also because I've been through an intense experience like that before, to come back and then to know, like, all right, I'm gonna set up my therapy session. Like, even if everything feels fine, like, I'm gonna make sure that I'm eating well, exercising, sleeping okay. Those things do make a big difference. Because if not, you can just get so caught up in it. Like, it can really become your whole, whether you win or lose, if it's your whole identity or who you are, that is bad news. That is real bad news, Sharon.
Yeah, and I feel like the people that are new to TV, this is their first experience. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It could have affected them different. I don't know if you know, but I assume, yeah, they just have a different experience. Because you have a little bit of knowing what you're getting into a little bit, right?
Yeah, and there absolutely are some people who, you know, are going through it. And depending on the experience, might be in better shape or not. But it's like, I think the average age of this cast was also a good thing, where it does skew a little bit older. Jericho was the youngest person and like more mature than a lot of the other people. So like that's really good. But you just gotta like, I had someone's, I'm not going to name them, but somebody from the cast, like family member reached out and was like, what do you do? I'm like, you get off the internet. I'm like, go touch grass, go outside.
Seriously.
This is not real life. Yes. It's a very, very popular show. Number one on Crave right now. Number one on Crave Canada. It's a very, very popular show. People are watching it, but they're also going back to their lives too. Like they're not going to the gym being like, Kevin is a dick. Like that's what they're doing when they're watching the show, and then they move on. So you gotta make sure that it's not your entire being, because if it is, like who are you when the lights fade?
Exactly. When the show is airing, it can be rough, but usually the pitchforks go away after a while. I mean, I've even dealt with that, just like being on a podcast. So
right, especially with the Big Brother community.
It's rough, you know. Yeah. I mean, we love it and we hate it. I don't know. Whatever.
And this is less of a like social media frenzy, obviously, because you know, live feeds. But this season, I've seen a lot around, just given the cast and who's on it. Like there's been a lot more engagement online, which also is like, if it's your first time on TV, I got thousands of new friends
or enemies or people who hate you.
I got, you know. I got the, I've had a couple of those death threats, you know.
Jesus,
it's not real, Sharon. They're not going to kill me. It's not worth. And if they do, that's so embarrassing. You're going to kill the villain from your unscripted television show. Like, whoa, laugh, like, why don't you stand up for something? Like, have some good views. like have an opinion. My God, this is the thing that you're gonna go to jail for. You're gonna ruin Jillian's life over me being an asshole in confessional. Like, what?
It's not real life, people. I do want to ask about the sort of evolution of the game. I appreciate that they're trying to switch it up because I have gotten bored with the format a little bit. I still sort of fast forward a little bit through the challenges. It's not my favorite thing, but they, you know, this $10,000 they threw out for getting a trader, is that actually just part of the prize pot anyway, or is it additional money? Like,
I don't know. And if they not, like, I'm not sure if they, if this season they can get over the 100K or whatever the max is. I think for traders, it does incentivize some trader on trader, especially because usually one ends up winning. Like, but it's also like for the faithfuls, there is more incentive to stick to the regular game and not play a trader angel. This format, like, I respect the swings they took. Like, there are a lot of, like, even this last episode with Coco and Venus trying to do this murder in plain sight, the manor's not that big. Like, you're going to look behind Coco put a portrait like down on the floor. It's like, this is very, very difficult. The fact that those two have done this well is so impressive.
I agree.
Because role-based games change based on the roles. So traders and faithfuls have very different goals in the game, and they can decide what those are specifically. But the more the game design changes with these twists and things like that, those roles change and what's incentivized is different. So look, I think it's a pretty good season. I think it's a really good season. And that $10,000, I do think plays a role in a lot of the drama in this game. Like, sure, we'll recruit Rhea and immediately get her. Like, why not? And get another 10K, whatever.
That's a good point. I just didn't know if it was gonna incentivize people enough. Like, I almost felt like people would want, like, personal, an extra $1,000 if you voted the right way or something. Like, I don't know. But yeah, I guess
that's a good idea. I'd watch it. And that's also, like, I get less upset about twists in the traders because it is so melodramatic and, like, built in a way that I don't with, like, sometimes a Big Brother twist can be game breaking, you know?
I mean, look at Rachel Riley.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking as I said that.
Yeah. Well, are you, so you're good with Corrine then? You're not mad at her for all these nonsense twists?
I love Corrine. She hates me. I love Corrine. I think she's great. I think she's so good at what she does. Oh, she hates me.
Why?
Because I brought the most ego into the house that they ever had. Like I think she's used to, like, and she does. She's so charismatic. She demands the audience. But she's like, I would, like, you know, interrupt and be a shit disturber or whatever. She's not a fan. That's okay. That's part of my charm, Sharon.
You're like the troubled student that's, like, interrupting the teacher and
yeah, like she like put me in the back to, like, work on a different project because I was a gifted student, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What have you thought about the episode since your boot or whatever you want to call it? Episode?
They got to stop talking about me. It's enough. Like, get over it. Why are you, like,
you're still relevant.
Leave me alone. I've been gone for 3 episodes. Leave me alone. Really good. Really, really good episodes. I think that there is this heat on Coco and Venus that makes for an interesting show. Like, really, it is a cat and mouse game. And each season is the story of either how a traitor or traitors win or a faithful or faithful win, right? And it's like, I guess, yeah. So for that to happen, there have to be strong folks on both sides. And I actually think there are.
Interesting.
Well, Coco and Venus get a lot of the love. Because obviously they're traitors, they're the main characters, it's the name of the show. But a lot of these faithfuls, they're pointing in a lot of the wrong places. But the fact that they have two traitors already at this point in the game, even if one was a setup, and one lost his mind and got heatstroke, like, I'm interested. So Jamal, very interesting guy. Like, I'm absolutely fascinated by him and the way that he handles things. Yeah, he's been loud and wrong in many cases. But he has a point of view and he does what he wants. Sarah Nicole, really influential and the most charming, like well-rounded person. Like she's way too good, kind of like Kitten, like just like way too good for that house. Like just like the nicest.
Why are you here? Yeah.
Yeah. The nicest, sweetest person. Hollywood, I have a ton of respect for. I think he found the balance between like being suspicious and not suspicious in a way, but he's been a really, really good faithful. A lot of them, like, and obviously Jericho was doing great. Like, I think it's, there are some interesting folks.
Yeah. I think they did good with casting actually this season for sure. Yeah. But yeah, real quick, you know, we saw Omer go out, which that was a bit of an emotional exit. I know he wrote a long Instagram caption about your friendship. What was it like watching his downfall? Because I'm assuming you were rooting for him when you were leaving. No?
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Yeah, I mean, I was rooting for Tim, Venus, and Coco.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a bit emotional now, but this is, again, like the line where it can... I find the reality TV to be very camp and hilarious and serious. And sometimes real life does cross into it. And we had a really strong, we have a strong friendship. It'd be pretty damn hard to break us up. So they did good. I thought he looked great in that episode.
He's amazing. I love Omer.
Yeah. He's great. He's a hilarious. He's my perfect blend of smart and just silly. Like when he was in that challenge, when he read the thing that was like, I can't tie my shoes. I know. Cause I know him. I'm like, I didn't know he couldn't tie his shoes, but I was like, I'm surprised that he could tie his shoes at 18. Like,
I was like, wait, really?
What was it like? I don't know. Completely surreal.
Yeah.
I
they turn on him quick. Even some of the people, I'm trying to think, even like, yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I not surprised, but I was just bummed. I wanted to see him go further, but.
Rhea's monologue at that, where she was like the boomerang thing. I don't even know.
Does that make sense?
No, and I loved it.
Like, it sounded so good as like a packaged thing that you make up. But if you think about it, I'm like, how does that make any sense?
So I came at Coco so that she would vote. Like, it was unbelievable. It's just, and that's the thing also, you can't make too much sense either. Cause he was like,
no, you're right. But when you name something, oh, it's the boomerang strategy. It like becomes something. And I'm like, wait, what? This doesn't even make sense.
And I think for him also, it's like, you know, he wants to play this game and then real life gets involved and it's like, holy,
yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. I know. I would have loved to see you guys in the turret together. I knew it was never going to happen, but
it could have happened. I would have recruited him late game.
That was my question. Had you been able to recruit, I don't know if Coco would have let that happen, but whatever, if she was there or not, like, were your plans to eventually get Omer in the turret?
100%. Late, not with her. She'd never let that happen. But if she went, it would be Venus and Omer and, you know, three traitors at the end. I'd imagine with these game designers that they would do like a basically what they did in the other franchise was they made them do this thing where if it was a traitor's dilemma where they could all agree to split, in which case they do, but if one person says I'm gonna steal, they could. I'm confident if it was me, Omer and Venus,
but that was Australia, right?
I think so. Australia that, 2, so. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm confident that if the three of us were there then, and even if they did something like that, we'd chop it three ways.
I mean, yeah, game recognizes game.
yeah. I wouldn't be worried about, like, there is obviously the, like, Omer gets me out, it takes heat off him as the archetype. I take him out as a trait. Like, it's too fit. Like, you know, we talked about it a little bit. Like, it's, I'm not gonna write his name down. Even if he knows I'm a traitor, he's not. I don't think he's writing my name down. It's kind of too. I don't know.
Well, as we, like, talk about why you did the show, like, you obviously go into these games wanting to win, but when you're there, I also feel like you understand the. We're on a TV show. There's entertainment. Is the 100K or whatever you end up winning at the end the big motivator, or is it also, let me make some good TV while I'm here?
I am number one in it for the fun, which is maybe
a
bad thing to say, but, like, that first episode, I'm looking around in this quarry where they've got these bombs that are going to go off. I'm sitting in a canoe with Hollywood, Rhea, Asfer, and Jericho doing this challenge, whatever it might be. And it's just like, I really appreciate the chance to get that opportunity and to be in this playground. So there's a lot you can't control. So the number one thing for me is the fun. Number two is I'm competitive as hell. So yeah, I want to win. And number three is the money. But, like, it's, there are better ways to make money. You don't have a high percentage chance of winning a reality show. As someone who has done it, it's very difficult. It's, like, extremely hard. Yeah. And even if you know everything and are a goddamn mastermind,
you could play the perfect game.
But. Like, a lot could go wrong. It is
luck.
Exceptionally difficult. If there was, like, an extra zero on there, then maybe it's a different story, and it's a little less, like, hard and loose and having a good time and, like, being the sort of in there and, like, okay, I know how this is gonna come out. Like, this is kind of good TV. Like, maybe there are some times when if it's like this path and it's tight, I'll be like, all right, this might be a little more entertaining, more so, like, fun for me versus the audience, which can often translate. So no, but, like, I don't know how, like, if I was in Squid Game for, like, $4.5 million and, like, you friggin' trip at the red light, green light, like, I don't know that I'd be able, I don't know that I want to play that. Like, that's not something I could live with. This is, like, it's very camp. It's fun.
Yep.
It's like,
that's what I like about you, Kevin, because you're competitive, but you also don't let go of the fact that we're watching a show and give us entertainment. I think that is literally my perfect player of, like, when I'm watching, because I want someone to be in there to win. I don't want it to be all like, oh, this is just fun. So I think you strike the perfect balance. So I appreciate nice. That.
Thank you. I did. I had a really good time despite just being completely in air. So, like, for example, when, like, my inspiration, Josh Martinez, God bless that man.
Oh, I love Josh.
But what I love about Josh also is he's real in it. And this is as someone who is absolutely hamming it up sometimes. But, like, that first night when, like, the Thai Venus thing is happening, I am genuinely torn. It is my worst night on TV, but I'm not hiding that. I am showing that, like, I could force that emotion. I'm like, all right, like, I you got me. Like, I'm going to show this. I'm going to put it all out there. And if I get screwed because of it, that's fine. But, like, that's kind of what I like to see as a viewer also, is, like, cause I could just, you know, put it in and be like, all right, like, see a Venus, see a tie, like, whatever. That's how I felt. I'm going to show it.
Yeah. You know? No, I liked seeing that side of you too. Cause I think, you know, people think sometimes you're a game bot, right? Like, you're just, like, really strategic but I liked seeing
obviously
sort of the vulnerability.
Yeah. It's the opposite of strategy and big brain. Like, we're kind of there. I couldn't have made worse decisions.
Listen, I appreciate, like, this is what I also like when, you know, I talked to Dan Giesling after his game. Like, listen, you own it. It's like, listen, I didn't play the exact game, but also I was having fun. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, so I also
should have recruited none of my friends.
None of, well, that would have been ideal. Yeah, if in that scenario when you had to only pick one person. I guess, yeah, what would have been the better scenario there, that you didn't pick Ty and Venus? But
just, well, no, it would have been like Venus and
someone else.
Yeah, but like, even let's say, you know, it was a turret of me and two other people. They're like, okay, well, you're gonna, let's murder Ty, let's murder Venus, let's murder Omer. It'll be hard for me to like protect all of them in the turret. Like that's also a tough situation. So kind of need one in there with me.
It's so easy to play Monday morning quarterback with all these decisions.
It's so easy. You should see the people going back to my old Instagrams telling me that I'm the spawn of the devil. You're right, and I'm coming for you, baby.
So you were talking about having fun. The one thing I wanted to mention that I thought was kind of cool, but maybe it showed different than how it played out, but like you running off the bridge and the explosions, was that as exciting in person or was it? No.
I lit my ass on fire. It was like a Mario jumping in the air and him getting hit. Like it burned. And the fact that I went right into the water was good. Cause it was scary. You know, like it was, I could feel it in the air. It was brutal.
Yeah. Like what if you weren't a good runner? I'm like, liability purposes.
I'm not a good runner, Sharon.
Oh, well, at least you got off the dock.
I made it in, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Who from the cast?
One thing I'm upset about?
Ooh,
which
yeah.
Actually, you know, you talk about one of the things that made me the most sad about the show was I walk into breakfast wearing this one day.
They didn't show it?
No, they showed it. And like I had confessionals with it and no one called it out as like funny or ironic. Everyone was like, oh, he's wearing that hat just because that's what he does. And that to me is like the most heartbreaking. Like this is a bit. This is a bit. This is obviously a bit. So I'm just in there having like totally genuine like confessionals and not one person commented on. I'm like, oh, this is not even funny. They actually think that this is a hat that I would wear out in the world. And maybe it is now. Maybe that's a message to me.
Maybe it looks good that it didn't look out
of this doesn't look good, Sharon.
I don't think it's you.
It looks like I'm in Les Mis, you know? Looks like I'm like in one day more, like getting it like ready to you know, one more day to revolution. We will nip it in the bud. And everyone's like, oh yeah, perfect.
You're on pitch. Are you a theater guy?
Yeah, of course I'm a theater guy. I don't have a good voice, but I have a small range. Good. They're like, you know, I'm not playing Jean Valjean. Like if we're doing the show, I'm probably the master of the house. Like that's like my like obvious, you know, like bit role. Come in, do the thing, have like good chemistry. Like me and Coco singing Master of the House in Les Mis.
That would be
so good. That would be so good.
All right. I think as your friend, tell her that. But as your friend, I feel like I should have caught the hat thing too. And I honestly don't even remember you wearing it. So that's not good.
Literally everyone was just like, it didn't even occur to people that this is an absurd thing to wear.
Maybe I thought they put it on you on purpose, you know, because sometimes they dress you. I don't know.
No, I was like packing. I was like, this is my dad's, like, you know, like old school. I was like, oh. This has to come with me to a breakfast. Like,
did you have any other props?
I had like a beanie, like I had an army beanie. I have this one friend who's like really, he's an incredible lawyer. But like you see him on like, you know, like a couple times a year, you know, when the beanie's on, you're getting full like, Tim Robinson in a sketch. So I wore the beanie. I also had some style advice from Netta as well.
Okay.
So like, exclusive for yeah. Sharon, me and Omer were wearing the same like soft, and she talked about this in interviews. We were wearing like the same soft blues and greens on like at the first two round tables. And I was like, oh, he studied Netta's game as well. Cause she talked about like wearing softer colors to like, I was like, so we wore basic, like slight variations of the same shirt. And I was like, Omi, I see what you're doing there.
I am so dead.
The baby, wow. the like softer blue and the softer green, it's like less intimidating for people. So they're less likely to accuse you. You know, when I got banished, I was wearing like a brown shirt.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Wow. See, okay. There was some strategy when you were packing. I didn't even think of that. Would you go back for an All-Star season?
Why would they have me? Because I'm amazing in the confessional? I guess. I'm amazing in the confessional. Terrible strategy, great TV. Sounds like a winner. If it was next year, no. Down the line, sure. Like the way I think about these things also is this is not real life. I go back and I like this is not how I tons of learnings. But come back, live my life, go make some mistakes, take some swings here, see how those play out. I'm playing hard in life all the time. Like I'm on.
That's why, like, those are my favorite players, are the ones that kind of like go hard when they're on TV and then just kind of go back to their regular lives. I love that.
Yeah, like this, like this is probably my last trainer's interview. You got I got
the exclusive last one.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much done. But like, it's to go live life and then go back and do some adventure. I don't know, trade or whatever, 5-10 years. Lock me in. I'll go.
Yeah, okay.
Like when I'm like 65, let's say, and I'll be good. Like, let's say I don't do another TV show ever. Totally fine. When I'm when I'm 65, 70, like I'll be down to go in the ring and like see what happens. Like make me freaking Borneo Rudy. Like give me that energy and see. Like
that would be fun.
I could never be like a go every year type guy. Like that doesn't interest me. It's not my style, like whatever, but let me live life. Let me learn some things. Maybe I'll be better on the next one I do. Maybe I'll not. Maybe I'll never do another. I don't care. I got a good life. I got adventures here. I don't know. That's my long-winded way of saying no to next year down the line. I'll take a call.
Okay.
I'll answer the phone, you know.
Drink up. I have a couple more questions before we wrap up. And you probably already answered these, but I always ask because people's, answers change over the years. Are there any other shows that pique your interest that you would be open to going on? Whether it's, well, let's talk about Survivor first. Does that interest you at all at this point?
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Look. Survivor was my first love. Like, talk about Borneo. I remember watching the finale. It'd be very hard to say no. In its current state, the TV show excites me more than the game. I want to see how it develops post 50, but like not anytime soon. You know what is like the game that I would love the most? Survivor Australia. It has very similar DNA to, I think, like a Big Brother Canada, but like in an alternate universe in that it's a longer game. There's more to develop that you can kind of rely on some insane personalities. I think it would be fun. Am I in a place to take 60 days off from my life and do a show? Not even close. Like anytime soon, like I don't have 2 weeks to go. And, you know, I'm busy. I'm changing the world and otherwise, you know, it's like, that would be cool. Anything with more than a cast of like 30, I have no interest in.
So not Squid Game.
Not Squid Game, not Beast Games. Like I'm so interested in the part of the reason I love this is I'm very interested in the interpersonal element of it. Yeah. I'm very interested in people with different backgrounds and like getting to know people. And like, even on Traders in this cast of 24 or 22 or whatever it was, 22, I think, like I didn't get to know people as much as I would have liked to. I have now since the show, but you don't have time. It's so fast to like sit down and be like, so how'd you go through this weird thing where you ended up in a manor in Canada at murder camp? Like that to me is so fascinating. So I actually love, let me add that to my list of stuff. Like number four, like getting to know people. I really, I would put that above the money. Sorry. Number three above the money is getting to know people. Cause you get it when.
That's why you're good at Big Brother.
Well, it's like when else? When else am I going to get to know people from all across Canada with massive personalities who are in there to clash with each other? Like, it's so interesting, and like you never know where things are going to go, or who's going to be your friend, or how it'll develop after the show, or your enemy. And like to me, that's so cool. So.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to be on TV anytime soon in an unscripted format.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you the same question in a few years. Let's see. But I did want to ask about Amazing Race because people have, you know, kicked that idea around. Would you do it? And if you did, who would be your partner?
Not this year. Moose is my guy. Moose Bendago. Follow him at Moose Bendago, Instagram, TikTok. He's a great content creator. He's become one of my best friends in the world since Big Brother. We didn't work together on the show. And like one day, like three weeks in, we just looked at each other after like an intense photo. And we're like, we're just like going to be friends after, right? We're like, we both nodded. And we're like, should we just not talk game until like one of us is HOH or whatever? We just kind of nodded and knew. We have very different strengths. He is more athletic, better socially.
Definitely a people person. Yep.
Definitely a people person. I'm more of like a thinker. Where we balance each other out well. So yeah. I mean, but that's not me wanting to do TV. That's me wanting to go on an adventure with my friends. like again, that'd be sick.
I don't even know if it would be about the money at that point. It's just like, that would be a fun thing to watch, to be honest.
The experience. Take the money down to five. The four, give you the experience. Like you could have me to go. That's the thing about these. Like, to go to run across the country with your buddy, like try to race straight. Like, it's so funny. It's
ridiculous, to be honest.
And I'm so grateful that I get to like, this stuff is ridiculous. Like, I'm appreciative every day. Sharon, I get to go to the Avatar Toronto premiere, you know? Avatar 3.
You're a big movie guy.
Fire and Ash. I'm a big movie guy, and I get invited to movies, and it's like, this is so sick. Life is good.
That's what my last question was going to be, is like, what is next? Because there's a lot of people that are just probably disappointed to hear you say, you know what, I'm probably not going to be on TV anytime soon. Where can they find you? Like, are you, you know, what are you up to these days? I know you're working a lot.
I'm working like my work ethic is out of control. Like I love it. Like it's like,
I think we're similar in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always on. Like it's,
I try.
I really, really love it. And so right now, like I work in tech, I work in software for the moving industry, like the people who move your stuff. So I'm trying to modernize that. In terms of like online, like Instagram is probably the place where like I use it the most, but it's not really like, you'll just see me talk about movies and food. It's less like, I don't know. We'll see what projects excite me. I'm kind of all in. Like I'm expecting 2026 to just be a year of hard work, building, like, you know, I'm here with my wife Jillian, like we want to start a family sometime soon, like that's kind of my focus. And I'm really like grateful that if you don't come out of an unscripted high pressure reality show better and stronger, then you're going the opposite way. And so I'm very appreciative for my day to day. Like I don't need another 15 minutes here or there to be happy. Like, I'm happy. Life's amazing. where can you find me? I don't know, at Kevin Ted Jacobs on Instagram. Like,
well, you're also doing your newsletter still, aren't you?
So we actually had an issue come out. We haven't done it in a little while.
I saw. That's why I asked.
Yeah. So Stephen Fish back from Survivor Token Fiends and Survivor Second Chance wrote one. We had a special issue of The Confessional. RealityTVNewsletters.com. You can subscribe there. It's a newsletter that I do with Sester Nino, associated with Rob as a podcast. It's like, I don't know. Like, I'm just out here like having a good time. I kind of have my top few priorities and
yeah,
try not to be a dick. I don't know.
Well, okay. My last question then, are you, you know, people might think, oh, Kevin, maybe he didn't have a good time because it didn't work out the way, but like at the end of the day, you are happy you did the show.
I had a blast. What do you mean?
Yeah.
This is, you go on a show that's a, well, almost zero sum game. Like you can win with up to like four people.
Yeah.
But like there's a very real possibility that you lose early. Like it's anyone, no matter who you are, like whatever your personality is, whatever target you have, there's also a possibility you win. That's part of the fun. Like, yeah.
That's why I was worried. I just wanted you to have a good time. Like that was my thing. I was like, I just hope Kevin is happy he does it.
I had a great time. I was very happy I did it.
Okay, good.
It is, don't get me wrong, like it's hard losing, like, and it forces you to reflect on things and learn something, but like what a beautiful experience. Like met a lot of great people, strengthened some relationships. Like, you know, it's how could you not be, I know how you cannot be grateful for it, because you know, I've obviously seen the other side of the coin with some people that I know. But for me, the only way to like respond to an intense experience like this is to make it great. Like I don't regret anything. Did I make every wrong decision? Yeah. Do I want to change it? No. I'm on to new things. I got new problems. I got new challenges. Like it's
moving on.
No, I it's, you can't. I remember seeing someone, because the show is airing right now. I remember I saw somebody from the cast that I love, and they were like, and this was like shortly after, I just ran into them randomly, and they were like, you know, that's in the past now. I'm on to do things. I was like, yeah, go off. Okay.
Look at you.
Yeah. Well,
I actually meant to ask that. Are you still friendly with a lot of the cast?
Yeah, quite a lot of people. Like, they're like, you know, I'm texting with quite a few. Like, it's, yeah. And one of the interesting things for me is I'm talking like one of those people who's like retired or like has a kid or something. And they're like, wait till you have a kid, or like, wait till you're retired. Where I'm like with the cast, I'm like, oh, you know, let's see who's still friends after. I'm like, don't worry about the show. Like trying to be the guy, but no, but because I've been through it before, I'm very interested to see how these things progress. Yep. Because at some point, you know, shortly after, it's like you come back from summer camp and all you can talk about is summer camp. But at some point, summer camp fades. What are your actual like interests? Like, where are those things aligned? So I'm interested to see how things play out. Fortunately, I'm happy to have a lot of the relationships, or all the relationships I had before. And now I just got a bunch of new, like, freaky friends with crazy personalities. Like, sick.
I love that, Kevin. Thank you for chatting with me today. Also, you kept the hat on. I didn't realize you kept it on.
As a bit.
As a bet?
As a bit. It's a bit, Sharon.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna go back and watch. What episode were you wearing this hat?
I think it's my boot episode. I think it's episode four. I gotta finish this for you.
All right, chug it down. Are you watching anything good right now? No.
No. TV? I'm struggling to keep up. Like I'm watching like great films. You know, like, okay. We got to go to the theater, Sharon. Netflix has acquired Warner Brothers. Like,
yeah,
things are crazy. We got to get in there. Cinema is not dead. You know, one of my great pleasures in life is go to the movies, lights off, stop using your phones. Like, come on, I'm bringing the laser pointer, fire it. That is what's great. I think One Battle After Another is one of the great films of our time from this year. Sentimental Value, that's a beautiful one. I'm not caught up on all the great films. Can't wait to see Marty Supreme sometime soon. But it is the good stuff I'm watching is good. I'm casually keeping up with Survivor, the Riz God's Albanian. So I'm kind of just like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, he's,
hilarious. I mean. You know. The Albanians need to get on his team. Like, it is Albanian, yes. Reality fans, as we know.
I sent a clip of him to my Albanian friend. I'm like, this guy, you got to be watching this.
Good. They're gonna catch on, and then next thing you know, the whole country will have him on every. Maybe this is a unique experience to me. And then BB, the last season of Big Brother, I was able to, like, because I was away for some of it.
So
to come back and catch him at the end, I kind of enjoyed the end game. I thought it was super interesting.
It was actually one of the better, I think, recent end games for sure.
Yeah,
I'm still invested.
I actually think the jury phase was better than, I don't know, but you disagree?
I think, and I wouldn't say that about most seasons. No.
Like that,
you're right.
Yeah, like the Rachel nonsense was something, but I don't know. She was so impressive. Like, you watch anything good? I don't know.
God, I just watched All Her Fault.
What's that?
It was like a thriller. It's on Peacock. It was pretty good. I love a good thriller in terms of series. I don't watch a lot of movies, which I know is probably offensive to you.
I'm not gonna yuck your yum.
Okay. And then,
I'm passionate about passion. Like, if people like stuff. Have you seen Pluribus yet?
No, I have not seen that.
I've been watching it. It has a lot of hype. I don't get it. It's not as good as Severance. I'm going to finish out season one and then see how I feel. It's by Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Yep. Love those shows. But no, you know what? As I age, Kevin, my attention span is less and less. And that's why reality TV is so easy, because you don't.
Require a lot of brain power.
No. So, like, at the end of a long day, like, throwing on an episode of Below Deck or something is comfort for me, as opposed to, like, Game of Thrones, where I gotta be like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm trying to read and write more. That's real good for the brain.
It is. Yeah. I know. I mean, I write all the time.
You write. You know, that's gonna keep you, like, whenever, like, that keeps your brain going. Like writing, like, the ability to even, like, creation of content, which is a stupid comment, because, like, you know, you're an actual journalist versus, sorry, I'm not putting down content creation.
No, I know what you're
content
saying.
creation is actually unbelievable, and you go follow the Birds Papaya if you're not following her. She's a legend. The that's Sarah from the show.
Oh, is that what her moniker is? I guess
she makes me believe in influencing, but she's like a real, like she's a star. Like, she posts amazing content. A lot of it.
Some,
like,
people are really good at that shit. I'm not the best at that.
Body positivity, being a mother. She's got, like, millions of followers. She's like, she's like Coco in Quebec, you know, like, she's, she's big. She's awesome. Follow her. But, like, the ability to create or, like, put your thoughts into actual, like, form, which you have to do when you write or when you build something creative, is a lot easier than, I'm so old, than being like, you know, friggin' 6'7".
I still don't know what that means.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Sharon. We're doing
Kevin, this. I'm older than you. I definitely don't know what any of this means.
We're so cooked.
We're cooked.
We're so cooked. Read a book, write a novel, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, thank you again for chatting and catching up. Even as friends, it was nice to see and catch up with you.
Bye to my Traders Canada content. That's it. See ya.